And welcome to Behind the Scenes with the Artists. I'm Sal Monaco, and I'm here with Jim Prey.
Hi.
Yeah. And our guest today is Love Slating. Love, great to have you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So why don't we start off by asking you about your work on the 5-minute series. You've done segments. I've seen your segments before, and they're just really good. I mean, you have your own special talent with the 5-minute series. What inspired you to do it?
My family really is my inspiration for everything I've done so far with the 5-minute series. They are a big part of my life, and I value them above everything else. And so it came naturally to me to talk about my family, my mother, and then to include my mom and my grandmother in a segment because they mean so much to me.
I did nominate that segment, by the way. It was amazing. Yeah. I mean, it was really heartfelt, and you really put a lot of, no pun intended, love into your segment.
Well, that's what makes it special. My mom, you know, my family gave me that kind of love, and that comes out in my personality. I think I hear that a lot. So.
Yeah. And you, I know you've been on the Greg Sturley show, and you and I did an episode together, and I thought it was quite funny.
Occasionally, yes, I will venture out there, but that's a rare occurrence for me nowadays. I don't get on the show as much as I used to.
Really? Well, what about your work on Greg's films, like on Failure? How did you feel about the part you played in Failure?
I felt really good about it. I really love Greg's writing, his sense of humor, and his sense of character, and how he develops things. And so it was really... again, that was a very small part that I did. I only came to a few shoots, and I really enjoyed it. And then when I got into other things he was doing, I found that I was intrigued by, again, his writing and things. So I like to act. I love doing that type of performance. And so it was a really great chance for me to get involved in something like that in Buffalo.
Same thing with Sweet Jesus, when you're playing one of the apostles, Prudence.
Yeah, that one was definitely a bigger deal for me. I mean, I had a lot more lines. I had a lot more of a role in the movie. And it felt really empowering to be involved with that many people, and especially considering it's a grassroots type of nonprofit, I don't even know how to say it, group of people that work together, really made you realize how much each person contributes and that you're just part of a bigger holistic thing and not just you and things don't rely on you, but it's much more of a cohesive unit. So that was a really great experience.
Yeah. Well, besides here at the Home of the Future, what other acting have you done, like here in Buffalo?
I haven't done any acting in Buffalo. I used to do acting in Ellicottville, New York, when I was younger in a small coffee shop setting. We did small vignettes. I did that for several years in the 90s and then really got out of acting for a long time. I moved around the country a lot. I did a program called Teach for America, so I've been here and there, and the acting kind of fell by the wayside. So when I moved back to the area and Greg got in touch with me and we talked about me being involved, it was like a breath of fresh air, kind of. I missed that.
So you're a teacher in your regular profession?
I am. I teach special ed in Buffalo Public Schools, and I really love my job, and I love being in the city of Buffalo. I think it's a great place to be right now.
Interesting. Someone saying that.
yeah, you don't hear that very often,
no,
do you?
No, you don't. So what got you involved in acting to begin with back in the 90s?
Well, I had acted in high school, so I think I got the bug then. And then my sister had also done some acting, and I was working at the coffee shop, and a woman used to come in a lot, and she had been involved. Terry Bronstein had been involved in a lot of theater in Ellicottville and also in Buffalo. She was the Walking Proud. She was in those commercials, and she kind of got us excited about it, and we got some other people involved, including Gwen Kears and Gwen Bush. And so it kind of grew from there, and it was definitely a small-town ensemble, you know, but it was just a lot of fun. It was just, you know, it was a great experience to be able to just do different things, and it wasn't for money, and it wasn't for anything else. It was just really for fun.
So have you had any formal acting training, like classes or anything?
No. No, I just like to do it. I mean, I don't necessarily think that I'm a great actress or anything, but I enjoy what I do, so I think that comes out in my
performances. It comes natural, too.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes. So what kind of hobbies do you have? Like, what do you do in your spare time?
In my spare time? Well, I go to the gym. I work out a lot. I really am trying to treat my body as more of a temple, you know, and even at, you know, 35, you can change yourself, I think, to be more aware of those kinds of things. So I'm eating better and working out. That's kind of what I've been doing. I travel a lot, so, and I'm involved with Teach for America still, doing alumni events and things like that. And I also teach after-school programs And I go to a lot of plays and things like that. So I keep busy. I read books.
What kind of books?
A variety. I just read A Million Little Pieces, which was just an amazing, amazing book. It's on the Oprah Book Club, which I, you know, shouldn't say that. Everybody says, oh, no, not the Oprah Book Club. But it was a great book about a guy's experience going through rehab. And it was very intense and just took me away. I mean, I couldn't put it down. It was really, really intense.
It reflects in your scene when you're reading a book in the movie and Al comes in and takes it from you and starts ripping it up.
Don't take my book away. That's, I mean, my friend Chanel figured that out when I was really young. I would go over to her house to play and I'd be up in her bedroom reading my book. Mm-hmm. And she said, come on, love, let's go outside. Let's go do this. And I said, let me finish this chapter. And then I'd, you know, go the next chapter and I'd be done with the whole book before I ever got outside.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah. Well, do you have any other personal stories you want to share with us?
Oh, personal stories. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard just to pull something out of my hat in terms of that. Personal stories. Do you mean about acting or about people in Buffalo or about...
Anything.
Anything. Personal stories.
Let the audience hear, you know... Behind the scenes of Love Slating.
Behind the scenes. Well, that's a tough one. I'm kind of a homebody. I don't really go out very much around Buffalo. When I do, I mean, I like to go to Spot and have a cup of coffee once in a while.
Oh, I love Spot coffee.
Yeah. And a friend of mine just got a job at Studio Arena, so I'm actually looking forward to going to some plays there. Mm-hmm. I did Shays last year. I got season tickets for their Broadway series. But I almost found that like a little too... bourgeois, in a sense. Like, I'd rather go to local theaters. I really like the Ojima Theater. I go there for stuff during the year. And they're kind of a theater that does a lot with the community but isn't really recognized as much as, you know, those bigger, like, you know, Studio Arena. And they have a great group of people that work really hard and donate time and energy and don't get the, you know, help from the community to keep going. So... I'd like to get more involved in theater. I'm really interested in the mayoral race right now. That's kind of my big thing, working on that and trying to help somebody who isn't one of the mainstream politicians, Judy Anak. I really want to see her do well in the election.
Well, we don't want to date
it
the interview
really
too much.
It wasn't really a story, was it?
It was something. I mean, you know, this is the whole point of the interview is to get to know Love. And, Jim, do you have any questions?
I was going to ask, what is the thing that you hate most about acting?
Memorizing my lines. I have a horrible memory, so that's definitely one of the worst things, which was one of the great things about working with Greg and those guys is they would email me my lines, like, you know, the day before, and I would have two or three lines. So it wasn't like having to memorize a whole act or whole scene, which I did when I was doing the theater in Ellicottville. You know, you'd have to memorize. In fact, I'd have two or three different vignettes I'd be in, so I had to have them all memorized and different characters and that was difficult.
All right. Did you ever act in a play or something like that where you used cue cards or teleprompter?
No, never anything like that. Closest would be probably Greg's show, which we don't really use any kind of teleprompting for that. But
well, what kind of characters were you doing in those vignettes?
Well, I mean, I played like there was one. It's hard. I have a horrible memory, like I said. So remembering the actual plays that I did. In high school, I did You Can't Take It With You, which was a great play. And I played Mr. DePinna. So it was very unusual. I am a fairly voluptuous woman, and I had to wear a bald cap and play a man in a toga. So that was a challenge for me, even in high school. So
wow, that must have been amazing.
It was different, that's for sure. It was.
So what characters do you want to play in the future?
I really don't have anything like that in mind. I mean, I just kind of go with the flow. I'm not actively pursuing acting jobs or acting things. Like, I'd like to be involved with Greg and Paula and Richard because I think they do really cool things, and Sal and everybody here is really nice. So I'm more into that kind of amateur under the radar, just doing whatever comes up when it does. And
well, was it hard in Sweet Jesus playing a woman in such an abusive relationship?
I don't think it was hard for me. I've never experienced that kind of relationship, that intense, but I was a domestic violence rape counselor for a few years, so I do have a lot of knowledge about women in those situations, how they act, how they feel, how they react to things. So it was fairly easy for me to put myself in that role.
Would you like to play, say, a historical figure like Joan of Arc?
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting.
Something like that in the future?
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, I could. Greg's talking about writing something possibly to do with the mafia, which isn't really historical, but that's, you know.
Yeah, he wants you to be a mafia gunball.
Which could be a challenge.
We're going to have fun working on that movie.
Yeah, I think doing, I'm a history buff, and it's, I mean, I like history, and I like novels about history that are historical fiction, but, you know, have a sense. So I definitely would enjoy playing roles like that. I love period pieces, especially Elizabethan and Old English type of stuff, so.
Would you find it a challenge to do like a risque movie or play which would have involved cursing or nudity or something like that?
Yeah, the cursing I don't think I'd have a problem with because I curse like a sailor. You know, I yell at my students about any bad words they say, but when I'm home, you know, you don't want to be around me. But
I couldn't imagine that about you, love. I just couldn't.
It seems hard to believe, but yeah. The nudity, though, yeah, I think that would be a challenge because I'm definitely a little insecure about my body maybe and putting it out there like that would be difficult. Thinking of stories, I used to work for a publishing company, did customer service, and, you know, you talk on the phone to people and you're renewing subscriptions, and sometimes you talk to people more than once. You get to have a relationship. Well, this gentleman had called and something about us, he lived in California, and he was talking to me. He said, "You have a great voice." And I said, "Well, thank you, you know." And he said, "Well, I'm actually a movie producer, director, slash, et cetera, out here in California." And he said, "I really would, you know, be interested in, you know, more information about you. You have this great voice, blah, blah, blah." And I kind of gave him a description of what I looked like. And he said, "Oh, you'd be great." And he sent me some stuff, and he called me. And I said, "Well, what kind of movies, you know, are you talking about?" Basically, it was, you know, X-rated, nude scenes, things like that. So I kind of stopped returning his calls.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Well, if
I think
he,
we know some people who might not have stopped, but okay.
Well, if there was an offer of money or if there was, you know, but he didn't know me at all. All he knew was my voice, and I just couldn't imagine him just saying, "Yeah, you'd be great in a movie based on, you know, your sultry voice." I mean, that just seems a little out there. I think he was looking for more.
Well, I loved your pajama scene in Sweet Jesus, even though you didn't say anything. So
I'm laughing about that. You keep talking about it. I can't even remember that scene. It tells you about my memory. I don't have a memory.
Do you ever think of, like, trying to play a rock singer and sort of testing your voice and seeing if you could do it?
I haven't, although Greg has pushed me several times to do singing and different things. He's asked me about singing. He wants me to get involved in singing and... I mean, I think I have a decent voice, but it's not trained anyway. You know, in school I was in chorus and, you know, did those kinds of things. But it would be a challenge, but I'm up for anything. So if that were something that came up, I would definitely be interested.
But is there any part or character that you say, yeah?
Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin?
Oh, yeah. She's my idol. Well, not my idol. I mean, she did die overdose. But, yeah, she's one of my heroes just because my mom listened to her, and I just felt like she was one of those people who was really standing out and doing something different at a time when people weren't doing things differently.
So I guess your family's very important to you then.
Yeah, they are.
Mentioned that your sister lives with you part-time, right?
Yeah, she's going to Buff State for her degree in fine arts, and so she stays with me 3 or 4 nights a week. And then her family, she has a son and a husband back outside Ellicottville, so she goes down there for the weekends. And
would you find it interesting in a movie playing a guy just to do something totally different?
Well, she mentioned she did that in high school.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Well, I did, but yeah, it was definitely, it was a comedy, and it was, obviously, I wasn't a man. I mean, it was pretty hard to hide. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. I think that roles like that are really challenging, and I think the more challenging something is and the more different it is, the more I probably would be interested because I like to, you know, rock the boat a little bit or, you know, change people's perceptions. I mean, things aren't always what they seem.
Yep, that's a roll with butter, like we like to call it.
Did you ever think of, like, say, taking your act to Hollywood and actually try the movies or...
No, that really never occurred to me. I guess it's just, for me, it's more of a like a hobby or something. I don't see that as my life's calling. I think education is where my place is, and I think that I am a strong advocate for education and social change, and that's where my true kind of integrity and my purpose in life is. For me, the acting is something more to take my mind off or to release that tension that I feel from those other things more so than...
Right. Well, We are just about out of time, so thank you very much for granting us this interview, and we'll be watching for more of your work in the future.
Thank you.
Love slating, everyone.